नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, The History of the Life of the Jani, text number 23, we'll do 24 today, too, at least. I'm sorry, I was late, so I'm making up for lost time. Evam Nivasatas Tasya Lalayanasya Tat Sutan Kalaha Atyagat Mahan Rajan Ashtashitya Ayushaha Suman Evam Nivasatastasya Alayanasya Tatsutan Hello, Tyagan. Well, it really looks like Tyagan, doesn't it? Hello, Tyagan Mahanrajan Stasi Yes, Yushasama
Ashtashitya Yushasama
Ivam Nivasatastasya
Ivam Nivasatastasya
Lalayarasya Tatsutan
Lalayarasya Tatsutan
Kalotyakan Mahanrajan
Kalotyakan Mahanrajan
Ashtashityas Yushasama Atashitya Yushasama
Atashitya Yushasama
Uram Nivasatastasya
Uram Nivasatastasya
Alyanasya Tatsutan
Alyanasya Tatsutan
Alokyagan Mahanrajan
Alokyagan Mahanrajan
Atashitya Yushasama I'm sorry. Atachityayushasama Nivasataha
living.
Tasya
of him
Ajamila Layanasya.
Layanasya.
Maintaining.
Tat.
Of her.
Of her.
The Shudrani.
The Shudrani.
Sutan.
Sutan.
Sons.
Sons.
Kala.
Kala.
Time.
Atirat.
Passed away.
Passed away.
Mahan.
Mahan.
A great amount.
A great amount.
Rajan.
Rajan.
O king.
O king.
Ashtashitya.
Ashtashitya.
88.
88.
Ayushah.
Ayushah.
Of the duration of life.
Of the duration of life.
Sama.
Sama.
Years.
Years.
Translation. My dear king, while he thus spent his time in abominable, sinful activities to maintain his family of many sons, 88 years of his life passed away. I'm going to read the next verse. This is the purport. Tasya pravayasa putra dashvatisham tu yohama balo narayano namna Pitruscha Daito Vrisham. Translation: that old man, Ajamil, had 10 sons, of whom the youngest was a baby, named Narayana. Since Narayana was the youngest of all the sons, he was naturally very dear to both his father and his mother. Purport. The word pravayasaha indicates Arjanil's sinfulness, because although he was 88 years old, he had a very young child. According to Vedic culture, one should leave home as soon as he has reached 50 years of age. One should not live at home and go on producing children. Sex life is allowed for 25 years, between the ages of 25 and 45, or at the most 50. After that, one should give up the habit of sex life and leave home as vanaprastha, and then properly take sannyas. Ajamil, however, because of his association with a prostitute, lost all Brahminical culture and became most sinful even in his so-called household life. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Samaditi Namani Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravari Pichalini Vishesa Sunyavari Paschachare Sitarini Om Gyanam Simaram Dasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Umilitam Chenam Sasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vansha Kalkat Yubhyas Chakripta Sindhu Vyeva Chakritanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Okay, I'll just go back and read a few verses so you can get the story. Remember, a story is being told now by Sukadeva Goswami to illustrate the best method of atonement. How it is that we see in the normal course of things, people commit some sinful acts, they perform some kind of atonement, but again, they perform sinful activities, and they go to hell. There are hellish planets. Many places Prabhupada talks about these. Hell, unlike Christianity, hell is not eternal, but it's actually a preparation for taking birth as an animal or something. You have it because of your unrestricted appetites, for example, eating anything. You may be ultimately destined to spend some time in the body of a pig. And so, pigs, in their natural state, are scavenger animals, and actually they eat feces. That's not what we feed them right now in this country. We buy pork. But if you go to India, they're part of the natural ecological system. In the villages, people go and they pass through out in the fields in the morning. And then the pigs come through. It's all cleaned up. And when you see a pig like this, actually dogs can do that too. But so that to them it's great stuff. It's a feast. And so one who's destined for some time in that body because of unrestricted appetites in the human form of life first has to go to the kingdom of Yamaraj and spend quite a time living in an ocean of garbage and feces and all this other stuff. So he likes it. Gets used to it. And he goes becomes a pig. That's the way it's described. Anyway. So when hearing this description of these hellish planets, Virchit Maharaj, who's very compassionate, wants to know what can people do? What if they've been very simple so they do not have to go to hell? And that ultimately finally, Shukadeva Goswami said, well, the sublime, the most potent thing is to concentrate the mind to become absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That activity burns up not only all sinful reactions, but even the tendency to commit further sins. So, now he's telling, so he's described the potency of devotional service. And especially as we see the potency of the names of God, chanting the name, reciting or saying the names of God, the devotion. So now he tells the story. In this regard, back in text 20, I'll just read the text. In this regard, learned scholars and saintly persons describe a very old historical incident involving a discussion between the order carriers of Lord Vishnu, that is to say, Vishnu Dutas, and those of Yamaraj. Yamaraj is the punisher of sinful people. Please hear this from me. So there's these two kinds of beings here. The Duta means messenger. He pointed out that the English word angel, the root meaning of it is messenger. So these are the order carriers or agents of Yamaraj who come, as we will see, they come to take a sinful person down to hell at the time of death. But also there's another group, Vishnu Dutas, that if a person is a devotee, it's not subject to alleged punishment. The Vishnu Dutas come, the messengers of the agents of Vishnu, Krishna, and Narayana. Take them to the spiritual world. So there was a discussion, somehow or other, these two groups who never see each other, usually. the Yamadutas are coming, Vishnudutas, and there's no need for them to come. And the Vishnudutas are coming, the Yamadutas are never there. So, but in this case, it's a little startling that they happen to meet. So we'll see. So now he tells the story. In the city known as Kanyakuja, there was a brahmana named Ajamila who was married to a prostitute maidservant and lost all his brahminical qualities because of the association of that low-class woman. So normally, brahmana, they lead very restricted, very pure lives. And somehow, he contacted a relationship with this prostitute, and actually formed a permanent alliance with him. The backstory will be given later on in this chapter. what actually happened, the details. The Yamadutas will say, you know, we have a right to this guy because this is what happened. How he was a going out to collect paraphernalia for sacrifice, summit and kushgrass or particular kind of wood, ingredients you need for performing religious duties, and he happened to see this man and a woman in public, in sexual activity, at least the beginning of it, embracing. They were both in drunk, and the clothes were loose, and, you know, stuff you see every day in the streets, but in those days it was a little, it was quite rare. And somehow it becomes overcome by lust. And so he searches out that girl. She must have been very young. At least half his age. Because if he's 88 and he still has a baby, so she had to be, you know, 30 to 40 or something like that. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
How many years old was the baby?
He was the baby is something like a toddler, you know, like two or three years old.
After 70, the men kind of do it.
Yeah, they manage.
Some can.
Some can. Right?
Okay.
Some can. Especially with, of course, modern medical technology. Still, they manage. So he had managed to do this. You'd see, I'd see it. So anyway. He had obviously, it becomes clear from the story that he was also a married man, because he had already received his father's inheritance and everything like that. So he brought this girl into his house as a servant, as a clean-up lady or something, but they basically formed his alliance with her. So this is like a big scandal. Somebody do like that. This fallen Brahman, now text 22, Ajanyo, gave trouble to others by arresting them, by cheating them in gambling, or by directly plundering them. This was the way he earned his livelihood and maintained his wife and children. He was outside the pale. As a Brahmana, they performed religious duties and received donations, and that's how they maintained themselves. He could not do it anymore. He had an inheritance for his father, but he raced through it. You'll find that out later. And so he had to do something, and he had a big family. In these days, people didn't really, if they had a lot of sex, they had a lot of children. Modern day split between sex and procreation didn't exist. And so if people had a lot of sex, they had a lot of children. So as we find out, he had to maintain this big brood of people. So this is how he spent his life, in abominable sinful activities, it says here. And absorbed in that way, time passed, and he had used up, he was in his 88th year, so the time of death was approaching. And then it says he had 10 sons, so now he needs to find, you know, some of his offspring. Expensive, huh? People nowadays who sit around and say, well, can we afford to have a baby? Two is like extravagant. But he had ten sons, which he had to maintain them, and apparently by crime, kidnapping, burglary, robbery, cheating at cards, and so on. And the youngest, now this other character exists, this Bala, young child, like a toddler. He'll be described a little more. He was at that stage where they're totally cute, the baby. add the name Narayana, Narayano Nama, of the name Narayana. And he was the youngest. Since Narayan was the youngest of all sons, he was naturally very dear to both his father and his mother. This is generally the pattern. Yes. The baby of the family is the one that gets more attention than the others.
Yeah, but he was obsessed with that baby.
Huh?
He was obsessed with that baby.
Sorry?
He was obsessed with that baby, carrying the baby's name. He was
obsessed with that baby. I'm
sorry? He said he was obsessed with the baby.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Because when he dies, the baby's in the room. The child's in the room. And so, at the time of death, you tend to think of what you're most attached to. Soldiers who are dying in battle most frequently call for their mothers. Their mothers cannot save them. But sometimes you just go, where do I go? You know, so he's attached to, most attached to this baby. So this, Prabhupada says here, this indicates the sinful nature of Ajamila. So especially for brahmanas, the priestly, a group of people, there is the system of called ashram. And Prabhupada says here that anyone who's actually in this culture does this, except for those people that really can't, then those are the only regulation is marriage, she gives. But otherwise, this is a culture where the real aim of life is self-realization. So the first 25 years one spends in the brahmachari ashram and takes a vow of celibacy. But it starts at the age of 5 or 6. That 5 or 6 is the age for study, for learning begins. It's not only when we send children to school. They're capable of learning. And in the traditional Vedic culture, boys of that age were sent to stay at the house of the teacher, the guru. And then they lived very strict, regulated lives. It said that up till the age of 5, children should be spoiled. Just give them unrestricted love, basically. Not spoil them in the sense that there's no discipline, but basically they're indulged. But then when they're 5 or 6, everything's different. Prabhupada says like this, that from up to the age of 5, a child is spoiled. And then the parents become his worst enemies. Again, he's speaking a little funnily, but it means that now's the time for discipline. They can start to learn and become disciplined. They go to school. And to get up in the morning, now's work. And so Prabhupada says it's the parents, the child's enemy. Then when they're, what do you say, 16, 15 or 16, they become friends. This is actually very wise. And so if they're given unrestricted love and they're very, very young, they're emotionally secure, to love, not neglected. I think most people nowadays suffer from parental neglect. Sometimes the parents are just indifferent, but the culture is such that everybody has to work, nobody's at home, they're sent off to daycare. I'm actually not emotionally so good. Neglect. They're raised by the one-eyed guru. You know, the one-eyed guru is television. Television is a great child raiser. And you think they're watching Sesame Street or Teletubbies, but what they're really watching. Anyway. It's because they all know how to work the remote. you give them unstinting love. Then the time, in the next 10 years, is a time for discipline and training. So they're not so much indulged anymore. But then at a certain point, it's time to stop. A lot of times you see, you know, people, mother with a, you know, 17-year-old kid, and she's always, come clean up your room, you know. The time to do all that was much earlier, and now it's just too late. They are what they are, you know. Because they never force them to clean their rooms when they're very young, and when they learn good habits. Then, you know, what you want to do when they're 17, forget it. It's too late. But they keep picking on them, picking on them, so the kids, you know, you're my enemy. It's time to make friends. The relationship changes. Anyway, that's the sort of pattern that should be there. So anyway, for the system of, so first is called, if here for convenience, this is, the life is divided into four 25-year segments. This is an ideal 100 years of life. Of course, you know it doesn't really happen so much. But at least, at the age of, until 25 years, study. This is ideally, especially for a Brahmana, who studied the longest. No kshatriyas, I mean, military and political group, they not quite as long. So 25 years and then marriage. How do you get a wife? Parents pick up. They all arrange with them. They, even sometimes you are already contracted to be married. But nothing happened until the age of 25. Then 25 years household. Household of life. You're supposed to have children. So that's the time, as Prabhupada said here, where there's a license for some restricted sex indulgence. Really, again, even Brahmanas all over India, everybody knew that you wouldn't have sex more than once a month. And for procreation. It wasn't the separation that we have sex for fun. The whole point of sex. And there's a science, actually, because it's known in Vedic culture that the consciousness of the parents at the time of conceiving a child, beginning a child, affects the quality of the child that comes into the womb, the soul that comes in the womb. So if you really want good children, then you don't do like we do. Go out, get drunk, go to a nightclub, and then, you know, fall into bed and have sex. This does not produce really high quality children. So there's the science to producing very elevated children. And so people would observe this. And then so Because it's a serious business having children. Because, you know, you may just be having sex for fun and then there's a kid, and then that kid grows up, you know, and that's like really heavy. So it's a serious, very serious. Not just recreation. Of course, now it's recreation, and people do whatever they can do to prevent having children, or if they have them, children are killed in the womb. So many sinful things are going on. So in this time, in 25 years, this idea. Then it's called, next stage is Vanaprastha. Literally, Vanaprastha means forest dweller. So you have to imagine it's the time when everybody lived in villages. And they're kind of rooted to a locality. People didn't travel all that far all the time. They're really living a village life. And so they're rooted in their village. So at that time, around the age of 50 or so, their husband and wife retire. By then your children are, you got some grown children, and whatever you have as a family enterprise, you hand over to them. And you go away. Vanaprastha means that you go to the wilderness, or jungle, or whatever, and perform austerities. Or other similar kinds. Or travel together to places of pilgrimage. But then the life becomes dedicated towards spiritual life. And then the last stage for the man is sannyas. The husband even leaves behind the wife and becomes completely renounced altogether. So basically, if only in one-fourth of life, this middle section, is there scope for worldliness. You know, having a family, having a house, having some furniture, making some money, having sex. You know, there's some scope for this. But before is strict celibacy and spiritual endeavor, and after. So why is it done like this? Because the focus, the center of life, is spiritual advancement. And this is what makes sense. Actually, the closer the older you get, the more important this becomes. The time of death is approaching. And death is not just some like bad thing that happens to you. Death is the final examination that you're working toward. Because at that time, one's consciousness, as it is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 8th chapter especially, one's consciousness at the time of death determines the next birth. So that's why it's and what you think of at the time, it's not an easy time. It's not, you know, you can't sit peacefully and chant rounds while you're healthy and everything's keeping you whole. It's a very disturbing time. And so one has to be intently up for the occasion. Very much, as far as we're concerned, attached to Krishna, so that Krishna is what you're thinking about at the time of death. Not your mother, not your son, not your wife, not your husband. Krishna. That's what the goal is. So our culture is different. This is a culture that the aim of life is to enjoy the senses. Of course, the first advice is don't get old. And so, because sense enjoyment is really, you know, your body needs to be young and healthy and so on to enjoy the senses. The body gives you pleasure. as you get older, the very same body that was a source of pleasure becomes a source of trouble. Everything starts to hurt. Things, systems start to fail. In a word, the eyes grow clear, blurry, and the tongue can't taste things well, and so on. The senses start to fail. And of course, if since the center of all material enjoyment is sex, people, you know, they look pretty good up to about the age of 35, maybe. And then, and even if you're really great looking, it goes away. Beauty disappears. Well, now you have to fight. What people do is they embark on a war against time. And so they are trying so many desperate measures of cosmetics and then cosmetic surgery, all these other things, Botox injections and all this other stuff. And yeah, maybe you can grab a few more years where you look good, but ultimately, you ever seen somebody with a lot of cosmetic surgery? Huh? Yeah, I don't know. Their face looks like a, you know, it doesn't work. They still are a little young, but they're like an old person with a lot of cosmetic surgery. So that's what happens. But they're fighting time. I mean, if what you have to do to be happy in this world is to declare war on time or on material nature, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. But now, because the goal of life is sense gratification, nobody really knows what they're supposed to be doing. And old age is a disaster. So people are trying very hard to keep on with Viagra and other things, and to keep on having sex, as long as possible, and to make the retirement years one of sense pleasure. But actually, if you notice the natural rhythm of things, is you have to renounce. I mean, the renunciation takes place as a matter of course. You should not fight it. You should flow with it. It's certainly easier to give up sex at the age of 50 than it is at the age of 25. It's just the mode of passion tends to diminish a little bit. Now, if one is already absorbed in material enjoyment, and as time passes, your capacity for it decreases, but the desires do not. And so then you're in a really, in fact, the desires tend to keep increasing, but now you're really frustrated because you can't do it anymore. It doesn't work anymore. Whatever. You can't smoke cigarettes anymore. Mm-hmm. You can't drink like you used to anymore. You can't eat like you used to anymore. You can't have sex like you used to anymore. You lose the capacity. But you do not lose the desires. You got restricted diets, you got to watch your cholesterol. Of course, it is at a certain point when you're young, you can just eat like crazy and you never get fat or anything. And then about when you're in the middle 30s, some change, and all of a sudden. Anyway, so these people very much suffer. But if the goal is spiritual life and you follow a natural rhythm like this, you're flowing with it, and actually. This is what you need to do for your spiritual life, for your well-being, your true well-being. So here is the example, the bad example of Ajamya, who is 88 years old and has a young son. That's a problem. because he's busy living, trying to live like this. And now, as we will see, I think in the next next couple of chapters, Ram will describe his attachment to his son, and then we arrive at the time of death. He's totally unprepared. In his youth, when he was trained, he knew all this stuff. But now he's become blinded because of this attachment to this world, fallen into these other crimes. He's become blinded. So that's the situation. 88-year-old man and a cute little kid, and dead. Let's see what happens. Comments? Questions?
Yeah, when Yamaraj's plan comes to follow Yamaraj's orders, for, what's the name,
Ajamila.
Then the Vishnu people come by and thank him because he chanted the Lord's name, chanting the Sunday. What I wanted to know was the Vishnu disrespecting Yamaraj's orders, and was that wrong?
No, they did the right thing, and that's, we have to do the whole thing is discover why they did the right thing. Normally the Yamadutas come and they take a sinful person. This man called his son's name, not even thinking, at least consciously, of Narayan. But somehow or other there was something in that name that made the Vishnudutas come. And they were startled to see the Yamadutas. What are you doing here? And the Yamadutas were startled to see, what are you doing here, you know? And then they have a fight. An argument. They have an argument over what is Dharma. What are religious principles now? Because if the Yamadutas can't think, if they think that the Vishnudutas take this guy away from us, the whole principles of justice, of duty, of rule, of law will be. So, anyway, you shouldn't think, you shouldn't plan that I'll do all kinds of sinful things at the last minute. but there was something about the way he said Narayan, that there was something there that summoned the Vishnu Dutas. But it was a mere thing because the Yamadutas were over there. Okay?
My friend Walter, and he's very interested in.
Oh, Hare Krishna.
He's been here for a while.
I've seen you before, yeah. Anything?
This is a side question.
Yeah, sure.
In setting up altars, I see questions in terms of
setting up an altar? Okay. Why don't we have to greet the deities in about 2 minutes, and afterwards we can. This is like technical.
Yeah.
Sure, okay. We can tell you. Okay. You're going to be around? You have to leave right away.
Okay.
Because we have about another half an hour that we're going to do the meetings and chant.
Okay.
And there's breakfast. You want to stay for breakfast? Okay, then we can talk. Okay. Thank you.